From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This week on the program, my guest is Benji Vaughn. Vaughn has been a huge figure in the world of psytrance, recording as Prometheus for Simon Possford's Twisted Records. Almost 10 years ago, Vaughn and Possford embarked on a totally new concept, veering slightly away from their psytrance roots. The result was Younger Brother, an esoteric blend of genres that changed underground electronic music. Next week, Younger Brother will release its third studio album, Vaccine. Beginning tonight in Baltimore, Younger Brother will embark on a four-stop U.S. tour. Let's get to the interview. We got a chance to have Simon Possford, your partner and Younger Brother, on the show last year. His history took him on an interesting path through the disco of his youth, through experimental rock with Youth of Killing Joke, before literally dropping into the trance culture. Do you have a similar sort of background, or did you have a more traditional musical upbringing?
I was kind of traditional, kind of being in bands at school to start with, being in kind of garage style school bands, crappy school bands, basically.
Sure.
And then buying a drum machine and realizing, cool, I don't need the band anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Were you always rooted in trance and maybe early psychedelic trance and Goa and other similar genres? Or when you sat down to produce, that's just what came out? Your field of influence is actually much wider.
No, I mean, I started making electronic stuff when I was about 15, 16. At the time, I actually hated anything with a 4-4 kick.
Mm-hmm.
I was into The Orb, one album by Prime Scream called Screamadelica. I was into like acid house and drum and bass. And I stayed like that. I was into those kind of things until I went to Goa and I left school. I went straight there as soon as I finished school. And I didn't really even want to go there. I only went there because my friends wanted me to go there and forced me.
The 4-4 beat was then injected into you, I imagine.
Yeah, it was when I was there. I kind of got into it when I was there. And it was more in hindsight when I thought back to what I'd experienced there that I began to really appreciate it. And then when I got back to England, I was converted and was very heavily converted for at least 4 or 5 years.
Did you initially start to make some of those tracks you heard, or were you still sort of on the fence, maybe using some of those breaks and drum and bass?
As soon as I got back, I knew I just wanted to make trance at that point.
Okay.
I was totally obsessed.
Yeah. I've read that you're a fan of vintage synths and other antiquated gear. Your Corridor of Mirrors album was produced in part using an old Korg micro synth from the 70s.
Yeah, I love the old synths. And it's very true. I used the Korg micro synth from the 70s, which I found in a damp basement in a mate's house. Yeah, I've had the same 4 analog synths for years. I love more, but they get more and more expensive and more knackered and unpredictable as years go by. I just wish people would make new ones and stop making these annoying digital things.
So tell me about how you met Simon and how you eventually started making music with him. Were you actually signed to Twisted Records before you began collaborating?
Yeah, I met Simon through a friend when I was at university. At that time, I was a big fan of his stuff. Met him, played him some stuff I was making at the time, and he said, you've got to get in touch with us when you've got something you're happy with. And so when I made a first trance tune I was really happy with and pleased with, I took it to Twisted and they signed it up. And I made music on there for a few years on my own, just as Prometheus, before we were asked to make a tune together by a charity that was making a compilation. They were like, we'd love to have something you two working together. So that was the first time we actually got together and made a tune, was for this compilation.
Both you and Simon have such a dedicated fan base, and you not only release material through his Twisted Records label, but you also work closely. Does that give you just the ultimate freedom when it's time to release an album through Twisted?
Yeah, we do have a very loyal kind of core fan base who are interested in anything we do, but they're not sycophants. They're quick to say if they don't like something.
As anybody on the internet is nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's a music critic.
I wonder, both you and Simon were such heavy hitters in the psytrance and Goa worlds, but even with your first release, 2003's Flock of Beeps, we didn't really get that signature, pulsing, gurgling, psytrance sound, more of that four on the four like you were in love with. Sure, elements of it were there, but you were off on a new tangent from the word go.
Yeah, I mean, I'd had a real, during that period of kind of 2001 to 2003, I went through a real musical change. I sort of heard other stuff. You know, I've been so focused and in the cocoon of trance for 5-6 years. And I'd loved it, and I'd toured the world, going to amazing parties. And then I just heard the two or three albums came out about 2002, I guess, 2003, that just made me completely rethink stuff. And as soon as that process happens, then you listen to trance differently. And as soon as me and Si got together, the things we were talking about weren't trance. We never were setting out to make trance music. There was a lot of different stuff influencing us then. We haven't looked to the trance scene at all for any Younger Brother stuff. We've got that heritage in us, so it comes out, but we've both got project, you know, Si's got Spongle and Hallucigen, I've got Prometheus, and it was always something which we didn't want to feel confined by the preconceptions of trance and the psychedelic scene. They've loved what we've done so far, which has been great. It's been a slow sort of progression. The first stuff, we still were kind of unsure how different we dared to be. And as we each time we've done something, a few people haven't liked it, but there's been a sort of swell of people who said, no, this new stuff's great. And it's kind of gave us encouragement to keep stepping out and do the stuff we want to do.
From the Prometheus album Corridor of Mirrors. Let's talk about both Younger Brother live and then going into the studio to work. First of all, with the Younger Brother experience in concert, how have you and Simon divvied up your on-stage roles? Do you have a set responsibility, or are you just tossing ideas back and forth in the moment? I imagine it's got to be much more difficult to change directions when the both of you are working together as opposed to when you're solo in concert, as you may be used to.
Yeah, there were two defined things one of us had to do. One was manning like the computers and the stuff coming back. We have a Mac with 16 tracks of audio running into a mixing desk with loads of effects and stuff like that. I chose to take on that role and playing synths. And so we both play synths. I manage the computer stuff and Si plays the guitar. And it's pretty defined that way. The only one person can really do the mixing desk stuff. The lines get blurred more on the synths. Often me and him will both... his synths are plugged into my mixing desk. So he'll be sending me like an analog synth solo into my desk, which I'm then manipulating on the fly through the effects and the mixing board.
Since you've been working together for years now and you've gone on several tours, does it become easier to sort of read each other and figure out a direction to move in together as opposed to maybe butting heads at times as you may have in the past?
Yeah, on the good nights it gets better and better, and on the bad nights you still butt heads. Yeah, I think it gets easier. It's weird nowadays, like the tiniest little looks across the stage makes one... me or him know that we're like into it or not into it. If I start playing something, Si doesn't need to look at me and kind of glare across the stage that sounds shit. He literally just needs to certain movement of the eyebrow and it's like, oh, okay, that's not right,
on to the next thing.
Yeah, and vice versa.
I wonder, when you appear with Conspirator at Philly's Theater of Living Arts later this week, can we expect to see a little Younger Brother live reunion with Disco Biscuits bassist Mark Brownstein and perhaps Mike Greenfield, drummer for Lotus? I don't want to reveal any surprises if you're not ready to do that yet.
Oh, I'd love to have Mark come up and play. That'd be great. Mark is a great friend, and he's welcome on stage with Younger Brother whenever he wants to be.
Was it difficult to try and translate the Younger Brother aesthetic into a band format? I know you wanted to do that because with Last Days of Gravity, you sort of moved into a more organic sound with more organic instruments. Was it easy to sort of translate that sound, or was it still a process of, having to move through each track and each change specifically when you brought on either Mark Brownstein or Joe Russo or Tom Hamilton?
It is a slow process. It's the most difficult. The stuff from the first album is really difficult to do because it's very unclear what's the bass part and what's... And it's always kind of changing. By the second album, it was more consistent. You could say, okay, here's the bass line mark. You play that. Here's the drums. Stuff was more defined. We were really lucky, though, because Mark found us just incredible musicians. So we were really worried in the UK when we had this computer full of electronic stuff that we were going out to do a live tour with. But within one day in the rehearsal rooms with Joe Russo, Tommy and Mark, we were pretty confident we'd be fine.
That's great. That's great. I wonder, do you feel like your fans expect to see those massive hits, crowd favorites like Crumble Knot from Flock of Beeps or Happy Pills from 2007's Last Days of Gravity? Or is your fan base so patient and so trusting that they'll let you decide what sort of journey, for lack of better words, you'll be taking in the live setting?
We always play what we want to play. But luckily, it's the way it's worked out, the tracks the crowd seem to most like, and when you go online, you can get we're lucky nowadays, you can go online and get a feel for what your fan base is into.
That can also be dangerous, though, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, it can be dangerous. You have to ignore it to an extent, but generally it parries with what we're into and want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Now and again, we'll get requests for tunes online, say, oh, please, you never play this one. A lot of the time, it's just because it just is too weird to try and play live. When you got six guys on stage, you want to do the tunes that are going to make that band work. You don't want to do tunes with 5-minute electronic sections where they all might as well not be there.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, most of the second album, and all of the third album, just works well live, and there hasn't ever really been too much of a conflict of fans wanting certain tunes and us not playing it. There is a big problem with the first album. We can't really perform, because it's difficult to perform live, and two, we've lost most of the studio sessions. You know, the hard drive collapse.
Oh, jeez.
So we get a lot of requests, why do you never play this, this, and this from the first album? It's just because we can't do it. Don't disappear. I need to know you're there. Don't fade away, distant memories. We'll find that day.
Crystalline from Younger Brothers' new album, Vaccine.
Let's talk about Vaccine. First of all, with the crazy schedules you have, and Simon is both Spangl and Hallucinogen, how did you find time to put together this album?
It certainly took a lot longer than I would have wanted because of those schedules. There's always a sort of a hope that you're going to be able to make an album where you just do nothing but work on that album from the first note until the mastering, but it just never happens. And so the thing stretches out and out and out, and you get everyone goes off and does tours, and it ends up taking a long time because of our schedules, which is frustrating. But often when in hindsight, when you look back, you think actually those big gaps where we weren't working on it and then coming back to it, really sort of both the last two albums, the last stuff we've done has always felt like you really hit the nail on the head in terms of what you're trying to do at the end. And you get that feeling of, shit, I wish we could go back and like get it all to be like this. But that just transfers into the next album you do.
Sure, sure. When you're producing a Younger Brother track, do the two of you develop ideas separately and then let the other finish your thought? Or do you really try and build each track from scratch collaboratively?
It changes every time. Sometimes I will have written something, or Cy will have written something. With Vaccine, they were all tunes we'd written very, very basically beforehand, and then went in and worked with the band for 2 weeks with Joe Russo, Tommy Hamilton and Mark Brownstein in London in a studio for like 2 weeks, and then went back to the studio and took another 2 years after. But I worked with quite a few people over the years, and the way me and Cy work is unique for me in that we sort of fluidly move around the studio. There's no like, 1 minute he's on a synth and I'm on the computer recording him play, and the next minute I'm on a guitar and he's recording. So I've got total faith in him on the computer and in the production side of things. And I think he's got faith in me. So it's very fluid. It's not that often in a studio. I don't have the faith in somebody else being on the computer and doing the production side. So I end up kind of chained to the computer, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Flock of Beeps was almost purely synthetic. You tried a more organic approach with Last Days of Gravity. What was your sort of overarching goal with Vaccine? What sort of plan of attack did you have with this album?
There wasn't a plan. There was just the knowledge, or not the knowledge, there was the fact that we'd gone out and done tours with the band and with Rupert singing on the end of the last album. We both were very clear that our favourite stuff from Last Days of Gravity were the tunes that had Rupert in and had worked well as a band. You know, our favourite were All I Want, Psychic Gibbon and Ribbon on a Branch.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the tunes. I think in most albums, you have a few favourite tunes on an album. They're the things where you think, oh, you know, that's, if we could just get it, take that and continue that on the next album. That was really how it was. We were very clear. We didn't want to sit in the studio making noises until something cool happened. We wanted to go into the studio with an idea and write a song, basically, and then bring the electronic stuff into that. And most of them were written like that. Some weren't. Some we went back to just creating loops on the computer and making noises. But after years of sitting doing loops with electronic stuff, suddenly when you've got Joe Russo and these amazing musicians and Rupert, it seems a crime just to sort of use them as a backing to electronic stuff. We want to just flip it round so the electronic stuff was backing the musicians.
Sure. From the tracks that I've heard, there are quite a bit of vocals on the album. Would you say that Rupert plays an even more significant, Rupert Campbell, that is, plays an even more significant role on this album?
Yeah, much more significant. And that wasn't that defined before we started. We didn't know. We knew we wanted to use the band. We knew we wanted to use a lot of Joe because he's just phenomenal. We didn't know how much vocals we'd want to use, but we just kept doing songs and Rupert would do beautiful vocal lines and it'd be like, oh, that sounds great. And it's very Moorish. A really beautiful singer is very Moorish. You just, every time you do a song, you feel like there's a hole without him there. And that just kept happening. Well, it really wasn't forced. It wasn't like, right, we're going to make an album with lots of singing on. That certainly wasn't what we set out to do. It just always seemed to work.
To hype the album, you released a remix of your own track, Shine. How do you go about remixing your own track? How do you forget, or at least try and differentiate the sound from something you've already spent so much time with?
I don't find it difficult, really. I just sort of put on a different set of ears and go into the parts. There's always stuff in a tune that every time we make a tune, I always hear stuff in it, and I'm thinking when we're making, oh, that'd be really cool in a different context.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you get the files back up on the computer and you start stripping stuff out, putting new drums in, it just creates a life of its own, the remix, and off you go. I don't find that I'm sitting there getting stuck on the original ever.
Well, we're absolutely looking forward to the album's release. Then good luck with your US dates. Benji Vaughn, thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Absolute pleasure. We'll see you in America soon.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Special thanks go to Megan Sabella, Ron Rivlin, and the entire Coast to Coast Entertainment team, as well as my guest, Benji Vaughn. Younger Brother kicks off their U.S. tour tonight in Baltimore, followed by stops in New York, Philly, and Denver. Vaccine will be out Tuesday on Psy Fidelity. Coming up next week, Random Rab will be my guest on the UNS podcast. Coming from a vastly different sect of the West Coast electronic music scene, Rab's music is not only psychedelic, but also packed with emotion and grandeur. He'll be joining Spangl for a 30-plus date summer tour. Remember to visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. You can still win tickets to Summer Camp, Wakarusa, and Electric Forest Festival, as well as a couple of Eyoto dates in New York later this month. Just click on Contests. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. That's ANAND @theUNS.com. Catch you next week.